Raus aus der Schule, rein ins Berufsleben. Bist du bereit für eine Hammer-Ausbildung oder ein duales Studium? Dann komm zu Straßen-NRW und gestalte die Mobilität von morgen. Gemeinsam mit unserem tollen Team sorgst du dafür, dass Millionen Menschen sicher ans Ziel kommen. Ob Technik, IT, Verwaltung oder Baustelle, bei Straßen-NRW kannst du in unterschiedlichen Bereichen ins Berufsleben starten. Also, worauf wartest du noch? Bewirb dich jetzt bei Straßen-NRW unter straßen.nrw.de/karriere. Wir machen Straßen fürs Leben.
As a child, I was always excited for Christmas. It was my favourite time of year, and I would spend the entire month of December eagerly counting down the days until Santa arrived. I would always make sure to leave out cookies and milk for him on Christmas Eve. But one year, something happened that shook my passion for this season. That was the year that I learned that not all gifts come from Santa. Growing up, I was vaguely aware that we were not very well off as a family. I always had less than the others at school. The meals I brought in lacked the flair compared to my friends' more colourful spreads. And surprisingly, I wasn't sad about this. But for some reason, I had it in my head that Christmas was different. I think I thought because Santa gave out the presents that I would get whatever I wanted. Probably from all my childhood movies that show the less fortunate protagonist have their dream come true for a day. I was convinced I was going to get what I wanted, and I non-stop dropped hints about what it was. The hottest toy in the market, a Nerf Endstrike Mega Thunderbow. I dropped hints constantly to my parents about what specifically I wanted, what everyone else in school was going to get. I was filled with excitement as I anticipated the arrival of Christmas morning. When I woke up on Christmas morning, I ran downstairs to see what Santa had brought me. I was thrilled to see a small pile of presents waiting for me under the tree. It didn't take long to sort them, as my parents had only one present each, which, retrospectively, they must have bought each other. Small things that were more gestures than gifts. I had the most. A grand total of two. The first one was some things for school, and I waited a moment with bated breath. The second present was a box signed from both my parents. I was more than sure I knew what it was, so I just wanted to savour the moment, let it last in my mind's eye for the years to come. I saw colour when I ripped a corner, and I knew it was a toy. But when I stripped it of its paper flesh, I was distraught. It was close, but it wasn't a Nerf Thunderbow. Some street market knockoff that was pretty much the same in all but name. But as everyone knows, kids don't understand that. I just knew I didn't have what I wanted for so long, and the betrayal I felt was too much for me to handle. Seeing that it came from my parents made all my ire directed solely towards them. In my anger and frustration, I stormed upstairs to my room and slammed the door behind me. I was so mad that I could hardly think straight. I couldn't believe that my parents had let me down in this way. I felt like they didn't understand me, and I hated them for it. I lay in my bed, crying and feeling sorry for myself. After Christmas, I found it difficult to shake off the feelings of resentment that I had towards my parents. I felt like I had been cheated out of something that I deserved, and I couldn't understand why they couldn't give it to me. I knew that they loved me, but it didn't feel like it. I didn't know how to deal with these conflicting emotions, and they consumed me. I found myself snapping at my parents and lashing out at them for no reason. I was miserable, and so were they. Looking back, I realised that a Nerf Thunderbow was just a toy, and it doesn't really matter that I didn't get it. But at the time, it felt like the end of the world. As the days went by, I was still feeling angry and upset about not getting it. I didn't know how to let go of those emotions. I was sitting in my room, staring at the wall and feeling sorry for myself. when I heard a knock at the door. My parents are out, so I answered it cautiously with the train on, as instructed for the rare cases when I was home alone. As I opened the door, I was met with a sight that filled me with unease. Standing on the other side was a strange-looking man with pale skin and sharp, angular features. He was dressed in a long black coat that seemed to absorb the light around him, making him appear almost ethereal. His eyes were barely visible through the darkness that seemed to surround him, and I could barely make out their cold, calculating stare. I felt a chill run down my spine. "Hello, child," the man said in a voice that was both soft and cold. "I have something you want." "What do you mean?" I asked, feeling a surge of curiosity. "What do you have?" "A Nerf Endstrike Mega Thunderbow," the man said, holding out a box. "I can give it to you if you want." I was stunned. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. A Thunderbow was right here, within my reach, and all I had to do was take it. But something about the man's offer made me uneasy. "What do you want for it?" I asked. "I don't have any money," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "Oh, nothing much," the man said, smiling. "Just a small price. But don't worry, it's nothing you can't afford." It was everything that I wanted, but I didn't know what the man wanted in return. I didn't have any money, and I didn't have anything else to give him. But I was desperate, and I didn't want to miss out on this opportunity. "Okay," I said hesitantly, "I'll take it." The man handed me the box, and after he left, I tore it open eagerly. Inside, I found the Nerf Thunderbow, new and perfect. I was overjoyed, but at the same time, I felt a sense of fear and uncertainty. What had I agreed to? What was the price I had to pay? This quickly left my mind, feeling like I made off with the way better deal, because I had what I wanted, and he left before getting anything back. I think I just justified it as some strange act of goodwill and pushed the bad thoughts away. As time went on, I quickly began to outgrow the toy. As with all fads, it was the hype that was exciting, not the toy itself. It was still a special and cherished possession, but it no longer held the same allure that it once did. I had other interests and hobbies, and I'd moved on to other toys and games. The years went on, and I thought that I had left the memories of that Christmas behind. But even as I moved on with my life, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. I started to have strange and disturbing dreams in which I was haunted by the man that had given me the toy. I would see him in my dreams, his pale and sharp features leering at me from the shadows. I would wake up in a cold sweat, feeling shaken. Sleeping became a chore, something that I dreaded rather than looked forward to at the end of a school day. I tried to push these visions out of my mind, but they always returned, more vivid and terrifying than before. It was a haunting experience that left me feeling lost. These nightmares became worse. I found myself feeling more and more isolated. The strange and disturbing dreams that I was having left me feeling shaken, and I struggled to sleep at night. I would lie in bed, trying to calm my racing thoughts and steady my racing heart. But it was a losing battle. The image of the man with the pale and sharp features would always return, leering at me from the shadows of my subconscious. My breath would come in short, panicked gasps frequently. I felt like I was trapped in a never-ending nightmare, and I didn't know how to escape. I struggled to cope with the feelings of fear and anxiety that consumed me. As the strange and disturbing dreams continued, I also began to see strange and unexplainable things in the world around me. I would catch glimpses of twisted and otherworldly shapes lurking at the edges of my vision. I would hear whispers calling my name from the darkness. I would feel a strange and powerful force pulling me towards unknown and forbidden places at the edges of my mind. It was as if the barriers between reality and nightmare were breaking down, and I was being drawn into a world of madness and terror. I was filled with fear, confusion, unsure of what was happening to me or why. I felt like I was losing my grip on reality, and I didn't know how to stop it. At first, I thought that I was just letting my imagination get the better of me. I was still young after all, and I was known to have a vivid and active imagination. But as time went on, the things that I saw and heard felt more and more real. I started to see the man grinning at me in the corners of my room, in the shadows of trees, and even in the reflections of mirrors and windows. He was always there, watching me, and I could never escape his gaze. I was terrified of the unknown, unsure of what he wanted from me or why he was haunting me. I tried to tell my parents, but they just laughed it off and told me that I was being silly. I was horribly misunderstood, since I couldn't properly describe what was happening, and I didn't know how to make the hallucinations stop. The man continued to haunt me, eventually appearing in the faces of people on the street and in the whispers of the wind. I could always sense his eyes on me, even when I was alone. I was trapped in a never-ending nightmare. I never knew what he wanted from me or why he was tormenting me. All I knew was that it was somehow connected to the gift that the man had given me. I could feel the weight of my decision and the burden of the price that I had paid. I was trapped in a cycle of uncertainty, and I didn't know how to break free. I felt like I was losing my mind, and I was terrified of what would happen to me if I didn't find a way to stop it. I stopped seeing my friends and cut school a lot. All of my time was spent in my room, huddled in the corner, trying to escape from the horrors that plagued me. I felt trapped, and I didn't know how to break free. I didn't know who to turn to for help. No amount of therapy or medications could help me either, and I grew distant from the world. When you can't trust your own senses, you lose any semblance of trust in anything. This ended up with me lying in my room, all lights on and the TV blaring. Despite all the light bleed, the room still felt dark. I put on some cartoons as a comfort show, but the sound just passed through me, and I ended up passing out after days of exhaustion, the grinning face in place of the show I was trying to watch for comfort. When I woke up, I wasn't in my bed anymore. I don't even think I was even on Earth. The world I was in was a twisted and surreal place. Childhood toys and memories were sickening visages of their innocent forms. Dolls with razor blades for teeth, teddy bears with organic eyes, and many things I can't begin to describe. I could hear the laughter of children, but it had a cold feeling to them. I could sense the man looming in the darkness, mocking me at every turn. For myself, I was back to my child self, the exact age from when I received the man's gift. I wandered through the toy-filled landscape, feeling more and more lost with each step. I didn't know what was wanted from me or why I was here. I just knew I was a prisoner, and I was at his mercy. I began following noises I heard, hoping to find a way out, but I found something else instead. More children. They had been taken by the man, like me. I had no idea how long they'd been there, but they were just as frightened, which took a bit of my hope from me. They were huddled together, hiding in small spaces and behind discarded objects. I tried talking to one, but was hushed and shoved away, and when in the open, I saw why. Some of the creatures were lurking, and when I was spotted, it launched. Immediately, the others ran, seeing that it was distracted. I didn't get a good look at the assailant before I was torn apart. I felt everything, despite being what I could only describe as a red puddle on the floor. Even as it feasted on the remains of my chunks, I could feel the pain bouncing around my mind like a phantom pain. I never blacked out, but I also lost nearly all my senses, so it felt like waking up when I jolted up from the floor, around me smeared in a rust-colored stain. Then, it all cycled again. Sometimes I'd bump into others when no danger was around. During these moments of respite, there was some sense of camaraderie. The consensus was that if someone was caught and left behind, it was no hard feelings, just your time for torment for a moment of relief for the others. It was a shark in a school of fish system. As they shared their stories with me, I was deeply moved by the horrors they had experienced. I couldn't help but admire their strength. But the horrors haunted us all equally. We couldn't sleep in this world, and even if we could, the lurking abominations didn't give us time to rest. Exhaustion was constant. Pain was eternal. One of the children, a girl named Lily, made her deal when she was just 6 years old. She'd been desperate for a new doll, and she had begged her parents to buy it for her. Her parents had refused. Lily had been devastated and succumbed to the man's temptation. He appeared to her, offering to give her the doll in exchange for a small gift. Lily didn't know what the demon meant, and she was too young and innocent to understand the true cost of her decision. She had agreed to the man's deal, and she had been taken to the dream world after years of a torturous life, just like me. The others had similar stories. Lily had been trapped here for years, and she had been forced to live through the same evils over and over again. She was trapped in a never-ending cycle of gore and violence, and she couldn't escape. She had given up hope, and she had resigned herself to a never-ending lifetime of misery and despair. She had met the other children, and they had given her a slice of hope. Despite not having the tools to deal with what's around, that small sense of camaraderie and self-sacrifice gave that seed of hope that helped them carry on. And now, I had that too. The seed grew into an idea. An idea with no backing, mind you, but still a small light to imagine at the end of this dark tunnel. They were looking for a way out, and they were determined to escape from the man's grasp. However, the more we explored the twisted world, the more we felt trapped by this curse. Too many demons patrolled the space, too many sights that twisted one's mind and drained us of hope. No sign of any form of escape. Through all this, Lily and I quickly became friends, and we helped each other to survive in the dream world. We would often get separated from the other children, and we would have to find each other again. But no matter what, we somehow always found each other specifically over the other kids. Despite this, there could be times that you couldn't find anyone. Weeks would go by without seeing a single person, only the twisted toys that roamed like titans. Sometimes you'd wonder if there was anyone left. What if the others found a way out while you were separated and you were the only one left behind? Thoughts like these made me curl up in a hiding spot and weep for days on end. But no matter how well you hid, they would find you. You couldn't go on forever without being caught, like there was a time limit before they locked onto you, messing with your sense of hope of reprieve from the pain that comes. The things they did would twist the stomach of a medieval madman. After years of this cursed living, I was wandering the landscape alone. Then I felt a tug on my hand. It was Lily. She pulled me into a crevice, which at first I thought was to hide, but she had something to share. She claimed she somehow learned a way to escape, though she never told me how. She said that the only way to escape was to replace our spot in the dream world with another child, and to let the man claim them instead of us. It was a cruel and heartless plan, but it was our only hope. Lily seemed horrified by the idea, and she didn't want to sacrifice another child at first, but it was our only chance of escape, and she wanted to see what the terms were. I promised to keep it secret from the other children, and to make sure they never found out what we were planning. Two victims was already too much for our conscience, though the guilt of not telling them also weighed on me. Lily led me through many paths and tunnels I hadn't seen before in the years I'd been there. These must have been mapped out in her mind from almost a decade of being here. Her time was well spent, something I hadn't been doing myself, though I didn't want to tell her that. Crawling for so long, we came to a clearing that looked different to the rest. A dark visage devoid of the flames and Christmas lights of the monster-stalked plains. In the middle was a small hut, and inside was him. Though he didn't move, I was terrified. He just stood there, smiling at us. But when Lily approached, I realized he was just looking at her. She knelt and told him we were willing to serve him and the dream world if we could live the rest of our lives. A complete change in demeanor to how she described things. Despite this, I went along to see how it'd go. The man was intrigued by our proposal, and he agreed to our terms. He grinned and gave us a Christmas gift, and he told us that we had to find a child to replace us for the time we were gone. I had little hope that he would release them once we were back, however long that was. But at this point, my mind was clouded with the thought of reprieve from this nightmare. I was horrified, but I knew I wanted a break. In a blink, I was back in bed, at the exact moment I drifted off. Family Guy was playing in the background, with no hint of corruption on the TV. I was back, and my senses were mine for the first time in what felt like a lifetime. It took me a while to get my bearings. I was in bed, and the TV was on with some cartoons running. I was getting ready for sleep, and there was no school because we were on break. It was the Christmas holidays. Instead of going immediately on the hunt, I slept for the first time in what must have been years. It was refreshing to close my eyes in a dimly lit room without seeing the visage of the man lurking in any shadow. When I woke, I prayed to anything holy that it was all the culmination of my mental deprivation, that the nightmare was a torturous lucid dream that ended with some well rest. For the first time, everything felt quiet. No more whispers, no more visions. I tried to believe with all my heart. But the present sitting on my desk said otherwise. I picked up the present and left the house. I told my parents I was dropping a gift off at a friend's house, and they were so ecstatic that I was up and about that they gladly saw me off, none the wiser to my real motives. I wandered through the streets, looking for anyone who stood out. I passed by parks and fields, until I saw a girl. She was lost and alone, having wandered too far from her friends while playing hide and seek. I comforted her as best I could, and told her I would help her find her friends. So I guided her back to where they started, and called out for them. As soon as they heard a voice that wasn't someone they knew, they took it seriously and came out, seeing their lost friend wiping her tears. She was grateful, and before leaving, I told her that she could have a gift to cheer her up. This immediately worked, and the friends gawked at the prize she received. If it weren't for the immense guilt that racked me to my bones. There are things I never accounted for, though. Where is Lily? I have no idea the size of the man's domain. Was it only in my country, or could she be in a far-off continent? Did she give the gift? Did she find another way? All I know is I need to find her. I was weak. I am weak. I did the man's bidding with no question. Lily was the one with the brains. She was the one who found the escape. Could she have found a loophole? Too many questions. Too much guilt. I need to find Lily. Maybe she will find a way to stop us going back. Because, if not, I have to enjoy the time I have left. Because hell would be a respite from the torture that awaits me. We don't always get what we want. And sometimes, the things we want the most comes with a price that we can't fully understand.
Raus aus der Schule, rein ins Berufsleben. Bist du bereit für eine Hammerausbildung oder ein duales Studium? Dann komm zu Straßen-NRW und gestalte die Mobilität von morgen. Gemeinsam mit unserem tollen Team sorgst du dafür, dass Millionen Menschen sicher ans Ziel kommen. Ob Technik, IT, Verwaltung oder Baustelle, bei Straßen-NRW kannst du in unterschiedlichen Bereichen ins Berufsleben starten. Also, worauf wartest du noch? Bewirb dich jetzt bei Straßen-NRW unter straßen.nrw.de/karriere. Wir machen Straßen fürs Leben.